Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Teachings to Vasudev. Text number 19. Tasmin kale sa bhagavan Simbarna kidrisho nribi Namnavakena vidhina Pujyate tad ihochyatam. Translation. King Nimi inquired, in what colors and forms does the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in each of the different ages? And with what names and by what types of regulative principles is the Lord worshipped in human society? Purport. It has been clearly established in the previous verses that human life is spoiled if one does not surrender to the Supreme Lord and engage in His loving devotional service. Therefore, the king is now requesting the sages to give specific details about the worship of the Lord, because this devotional service has clearly been described as the only practical means for delivering the conditioned souls. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pongom Dhangayate Kirim Yatkarpatamaham Vande Shri Guru Ginataranam Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraguna Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raghunan Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Suho Duto Gaudadaye Pushpabandhu Chitro Sando Tumundo Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Tavasmi Radhika Natha Karmana Manasagiram Krishna Kante Tavai Vasmi Yuvame Vagatir Mamam Govinda Balave Radhe Parthaye Tvamaham Sada Tvadiyayati Janatu Govindo Mam Tvayasa Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunam Ritavahini Kripaya nija padabja dasyam mahyam pradiyatam tavai vasmi na jivani tvaya vina iti vijaya devi tvam nayanam charanantikam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha aditanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Shri Raju Vacha, Kasmin Kale Sabhagavan Kimvarna Kidrisho Nribi Namna Va Kena Vidhina Pujyate Tat Ihochyatam. King Nimi inquired, in what colors and forms does the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in each of the different ages, and with what names and by what types of regular principles is the Lord worshipped in human society? So King Nimi is inquiring from, I think it's the Navayogendras, is it? About Krishna and how he appears and what he establishes as the prescribed spiritual principle for the people in this world, in this Bhumandala. Devotional service is the principle, bhakti yoga, but it takes different shapes and forms according to the adhikar, of the practitioner. Different levels of spiritual qualification, then the way we will engage ourselves in devotional service will change the shape. The principle is one: connect with Krishna, serve Krishna, strive to awaken love for Krishna. But for some, their adhikar, Krishna told Arjuna, karma eva adhikaraste, your adhikar is to work. Not work, but to perform action. You be active in your prescribed duty as a kshatriya, and you do it for me. But that is not the prescribed activity for all of us to go and fight necessarily. That was Arjuna's duty. It is not our duty to quarrel with one another, or even to quarrel with non-devotees. So different people, different times, different levels of their spiritual progression. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. So who can do it? Always think of Krishna within the mind. Not I. The Vrajvasis can do it. Madhya Yasoda is always thinking of Krishna. Has he eaten? Is he properly dressed? Is he warm enough? Is he too hot? If she sees a drop of perspiration on Krishna's forehead, she wants to give up her body to become a cooling breeze, that Krishna will be comfortable. She's always thinking of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is always thinking of Krishna. Subal Shidam Madhumanga. They're always thinking of Krishna. They are Rajbasis. If you cannot think of Krishna always, what to do? Should we give up? No. Man mana bhava mad bhakto, be my devotee. Mother Yasoda is not Krishna's devotee. She's Krishna's mother. She's a devotee of Narayan. She prays to Narayan, please protect my baby from all types of evil spirits and ghosts and demons and anyone else that will come to harm him. And she's not praying to Krishna, please protect yourself. No, she is protecting him by praying to Narayan and asking the Brahmins, you come. A big demoness has tried to kill my baby. A big whirlwind has taken him high into the sky. Sent dust everywhere. Very inauspicious. Please come, Brahmanas, and accept charity and bless my boy. But Narayan will protect him. And Krishna is also wearing tilak. We wear tilak because we are Krishna bhaktas. And Krishna also wears tilak. Well, whose tilak is he wearing? He's wearing Narayan's lotus footprint with Tulsi. You see, Vallabhi has tilak. Sometimes you see Krishna has only a red line tilak and no Tulsi. What's going on there? He's wearing Srimati Radharani's lotus token, and she doesn't keep Tulsi at her feet. So there's no Tulsi leaf there. And Krishna is also a devotee. In Vrindavan, they are lovers of Krishna and devotees of Narayan. In Nanda Maharaj's house, there is Nrisimhadev deity and Varahadev. You can still see them to this day in Nandagram. If you cannot be a devotee of Krishna like that, then be his devotee. That means 24 hours chanting, serving, hearing Bhagavatam, like the six Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vicharana Vinaykano. They studied the Shastra. They slept very little, Nidrahara. They slept very little and they were always chanting. They were always calling for Krishna. Hey Rad, hey Vrajadevi, hey Chalalite, hey Nandasuno Kuto, Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale, Kalindivane Kuto. Are you by Govardhan Hill? Are you by the Yamuna River? Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj. We cannot imitate that either. So Krishna says, Madhyaji, worship me. So we are doing worship, temple worship, regulated. Wake up, be here at 4:30, three pujaris on the altar, blow the conch shell. 4:30 on the dot, they blow the conch shell. What is it, 20 minutes later? Again, RT is finished. Tulsi Puja, regulated worship. Also have to maintain the temple, so you go out, bring funds, collect donations. This way we engage our senses, cooking, making garlands, sewing, decorating, ornamenting. This is more practical for someone who's not ready to 24 hours a day observe themselves in hearing and chanting Krishna, about Krishna. And if you cannot do that, Om Namas Guru, offer your pranams, come here some from time to time, offer your pranams to Krishna. Every morning when you wake up, offer pranam to Krishna. In the evening before going to bed, whatever you do, Krishna says, Mame vayasi satyante pratijani priyosi me. Mame vayasi yuktvevam atmanam matpadayana. He repeats this verse twice in the Gita, at the end of the 9th and at the end of the 18th chapters. He changes the last line. Mame vayasi satyante pratijani. You will come to me if you do this. I promise you. I'm speaking satyam, I'm speaking truth. If you do this, whatever level of your spiritual progress, you do this, you will advance, you will be purified. The process will act on you, devotional service will have its effect. And you will come to me. And at the end, and in another place he says, you will be, Mame Vajasi, Yuktvaivam. Yukta means you'll be connected, you'll be united with me. In love. It's very powerful. So Krishna is establishing devotional service. Yada yada hi dharmasya lanir bhavati bharata. Millennium after millennium, Krishna appears. Sambhavami yuge yuge. And what does he do? Paritranaya sadunam. He protects the sadhus. Vinashaya cha duskritam, he destroys demons like Ravan and Kamsa and Shishupal. Dharma samstapa nathaya, he establishes dharma. Nimi is asking, please tell me about the Lord's different appearances and the spiritual principles that he establishes in different ages. According to the adhikar of the people at that time. And the sages will respond. They will tell about the appearance of four yuga avatars for each of the four ages. Satya, Treta, Dvapara and Kali. The following verses we will hear. The characteristics of these avatars, their what is their form, what is their paraphernalia, and what are the spiritual principles that they establish. The principle is one, but the details of the practice in such a yuga, people are very self-controlled, extremely high-minded. Paramahansa. Paramahansa means beyond varna and ashrama designations. Brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha. Beyond that is Paramahansa. Topmost, swan. The characteristic of the swan, special characteristic, is that it is guna grahi. Guna means quality, grahi means to extract. So the Paramahansa can extract the goodness, the purity, spiritual, in any situation, in any... He sees that everything is related to Krishna. So nothing is a distraction. And the opposite is darbahi, just looking at the externals. Doesn't see the inner goodness, but just looks at the externals. The example, apparently the swan can extract milk from water. If the two are mixed, they can extract the goodness, the milk, from that combination of milk and water. That is Paramahansa. So in Satyuga, everyone was such a person, Paramahansa, beyond Varnashram. And so for them it was a very practical thing to withdraw the senses within and to discover the Lord within the heart. Tavasya chaham hridi sani vishto. Krishna is within the heart of every living entity. And the very highly evolved spiritual personality can see the Lord there with the mind's eye. We have two external eyes, there's a third eye. That is the eye of the mind. Sometimes people, they draw a third eye. That is also external. The third eye is the mind. And the highly evolved transcendentalist can see, can control, direct that third eye to see color, for example, Trikalagya, past, present and future. But more profound and more beneficial is to see the Lord Himself within the heart and to engage in bhakti yoga, service to the Lord. So this is established by Kapila Dev. We will read. He has other names as well. In Treta Yuga, people are less qualified. They cannot find the Lord within the heart through meditation. So the Lord is worshipped outside in the sacrificial fire altar. Agnihotra, Yajna. He is invoked within that sacrificial altar. And through the medium of the fire element, offerings are made to the Lord. And the deity would personally receive, would manifest from the fire and accept those offerings. The same principle is not a different thing. Previously, they were finding the Lord and worshipping the Lord within the heart. As they are less qualified to do that, then externally, the Lord is worshipped in the natural element of fire. And He is perceived. Instead of the altar of the heart, then there is the sacrificial altar. And as people are less qualified to practice that process given by Yajna, that is the name of the deity who establishes that process, then another process is given, and that is Mandira Seva, Archan Seva, service to the Lord within the deity. And there the Lord is carved in a human-like form. Our form is godlike, but That is conventional speech. The form of the deity is carved and ornamented and fed different times of the day, put to rest, woken up, and then we're able to connect with the Lord, to identify with the deity, to form a relationship with the deity, because we're unable to perceive the Lord anymore in the sacrificial fire. But we can perceive and relate to the deity in the temple. But in Kali Yuga, we are even not qualified for that. Not so many people are interested in coming to the temple. And those who come, even they doubt. How can the Lord be present here? So many histories of devotees having exchange with the Lord in the deity, even in this day. Wonderful stories. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we read of Kirchor Gopinath, Gopinath stealing kheer for his devotee Madhavendra Puri. We read of Gopalji coming to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and saying, "I am here, buried under the ground, hidden in the forest, covered by prickles, take me out." And then later coming and saying, "You have re-established my worship very wonderfully, but I'm still very hot. Bring me some chandan." We read there of the story of Shakshi Gopal, the witness deity. He walks from Vrindavan to Remuna, to South India actually. Later he was taken to Remuna. He walks across India to be a witness, Shakshi, to the promise of his devotee. So many wonderful stories, how the deity interacts with the devotee, even in this day. But still, the Lord makes it more, himself more available to us, to the common people of Kali, by appearing in the most wonderful and sublime form, and that is Harinam, in his holy name. The same process finds the deity in sacred sound. Hear that sound vibration, let that sound vibration enter into your heart and purify it of all misgivings, of all contaminations. Experience relationship with the divine through that potent vibration, and people can experience it every day. They can experience the Lord. People who have never engaged in a spiritual activity in their life, they can chant the holy name and experience the Lord almost immediately, if they are willing to let go of blind doubts, fears, inhibitions. They are able to quickly experience a spiritual connection. So it is the same process through each age. That is bhakti yoga, connecting with Krishna. But the details of the approach, they change according to the adhikar of the people of that time. And for this purpose, Krishna says he appears millennium after millennium. His other purposes are destroying demons. So the deity that establishes the process for the age is not necessarily the same deity who is the Yuga avatar establishing the spiritual process for that age. In such a yuga, Kapila appears to establish meditation as a process for connecting with the Lord. But he didn't kill demons. Krishna says, I appear millennium after millennium to destroy demons, to protect the sadhus, and to establish principles of religion. Well, Kapila, he established the principle of religion. He didn't kill demons. But Nrisimhadev, he appeared in Satyuga. He killed the great tyrant, Hiranyakashipu. He protected his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So those other functions were performed by him. Varahadev also appeared. He destroyed Hiranyakashipu and he protected his devotee. Who is that? Bhumi Devi. Not only is she his devotee, she is also his wife. Mother Earth. We say Mother Earth. Why is she Mother Earth? Well, she is the wife of our father. Krishna says, Aham Bija Prada Pita. I am the father who gives the seed for all living entities. The seed-bearing father. Mother is Bhumi. Material nature in one hand, but also Bhumi Devi. And they had a child that became a demon, Narakasura, or also called Bhomasura. So in Treta Yuga, the Lord, he appeared as Yajna to establish principles of religion and to kill demons and protect devotees. He appeared as Sri Ramachandra. He destroyed the evil ten-headed tyrant demon Ravana, who had subjugated the universe under his control, tied the planets to his steps so he would step on them, the personified planets. He would step on them as he ascended his throne. Venus, Sun, Moon, Saturn. What power will they have over me? People in this world are controlled by the planets. Ravana, he controlled them, tied them to his stairs. In Dvapara Yuga, he appears as Sri Krishna. He kills the demons Kamsa, Shishupal, Dandavakra, Jarasandha. He protects his devotees, the five Pandavas, and others. And he establishes principles of religion, of spirituality. He speaks Bhagavad Gita. He speaks what is called Uddhava Gita, recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, where he describes the process of deity worship in great detail. And in Kali Yuga, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't destroy demons, external demons, but he destroys the demoniac mentality in the heart of all living beings in this Kali Age. It is said that in Treta Yuga, demons and sadhus, like devas, they would appear in the same village. In Dvapara Yuga, they appear in the same family. And in Kali Yuga, those mentalities appear in the same body, divine and demoniac nature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the process to destroy that demoniac nature and allow the divine nature of the soul to awaken. With the appearances of the Lord in different ages, we also see a development of rasa. So he has made the process easier for each age. But he also reveals more of himself That is a wonderful thing. So those were least fortunate to appear in the later ages, because they are more conditioned and more materially engrossed, they actually get to experience the Lord in a more profound way. That is the Lord's mercy, His compassion. In a very interesting interview, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is discussing with a professor from a university in the United States. I think it's Penn State University. And he describes the incarnations or the appearances of the Lord in an amazing way. Surprising, even. Considering in a very surprising way. He takes the Western attachment to the idea of evolution, Darwin's theory of the evolution of the species. And he says that there is an evolution of the appearances of the Lord. First he appears as in the aquatic species as Matsya. Then he appears as a reptile? Yeah, okay. Then he appears in a reptile species. And then he appears as half a man and half a beast. No, first as a boar, as a beast. Then he appears as Nrsimha, half a man, half a beast. Then he appears as a dwarf. That's the, early ancestor of the human beings? Prehistoric man. Prehistoric man, the dwarf, Vamanadeva. And then he appears as the fully developed man, human, Sri Ram. And then finally, as the embodiment of human sensitivity and grace and artistry, Sri Krishna. The Renaissance Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explaining the Lord's appearances to a materialist who's very attached to evolution, not able to appreciate. How can the Lord, he asked the question like, how can you say the Supreme Lord appears as a fish and as a turtle and as half a man and half a beast? Bhaktisiddhanta says, evolution. You accept evolution, so the Lord's appearances, they also follow the principle of evolution. Oh, that makes sense. When we study Bhagavatam, Canto 1 to 10, we see a development of rasa, of loving exchange. The Lord, His loving exchanges with His devotees. How much rasa, how much exchange is there with Matsya avatar? Is there a Vatsalya rasa? Is there a Sakya rasa exchange, swimming with other fish? No. Is there a Madhurya rasa? No. Varuna's daughters, they saw Matsya. And they were very much attracted. But they couldn't have a relationship with him. They appeared later as gopis. And Krishna fulfilled their desires. So also with Varaha Dev, he didn't have childhood pastimes. with his parents. He appeared in a most astonishing way from the nostril of Brahma. Something fell out of his mouth. What was that? All the sages and Manu, they were standing before him, asking for direction. What shall we do? The earth has fallen into the ocean. Let me think. As he's thinking, something falls out of his nose. A little embarrassing. Then it flies into the air and starts growing. Varahadev. This can only be Vishnu. With Sri Nrsingadev, then there is more. There is a Vatsalya Ras. There is a parental affection. Nrsingadev loves Prahlad like a father. He holds Prahlad on his lap and embraces him. And how do cats show affection to their kitten? They lick them. Nrsingadev licks Prahlad. That's his way. That's the lion's way of showing love. Nrsingadev loves Prahlad. He licks him. Others are afraid to go forth. No one else can go forth. He's too angry. Even Lakshmi is afraid. So angry. But Prahlad, he can go. Brahma, he sends Prahlad. Go, give him a garland. Say some nice prayers. Make him peaceful. With Sri Ramachandra, then there is so much more rasa, or loving exchange in different relationships, in different rasas, different mellows. He has beautiful pastimes, childhood pastimes. He wants the moon. Mommy, I want the moon. No, how to give him the moon? So she takes a mirror. So see, the moon? I'm giving you a pot of water. The reflection of the moon in the water, she gives him. Ram has so many wonderful pastimes. He's the best friend for Sugriva. They embrace as friends, allies, friends to the end. Sugriva has a problem, Ram has a problem. Let's be friends. They make a pact. They do a yajna. They do a yajna to cement their friendship. And he's the best brother. Lakshman, Bharat Satrughna. The ideal brother. That's how Ramayana is written. Valmiki's disciples ask him, is there an example of an ideal person? The best friend, the best son, the best king. And he's thinking. And then Brahma appears and says, yes, there is. His name is Ram. And Valmiki, you should write Ramayana. And you write it in a specific meter called Anustup that is full of separation, because Ramayana is full of separation. Valmiki had seen a bird shot by a hunter. And those two birds, they were in union. They were making love birds. Valmiki was by the river. And then as he was taking bath, he saw hunter's arrow fly through the air and kill one of those birds. And he uttered a poem of lament. Oh, hunter, how can you be so cruel to kill a bird when it is expressing and receiving love. And so he uttered that verse in a specific meter that is called Anustup. So Brahma said, earlier you uttered that verse in a specific, I want you to write Ramayan in that meter. Because that is a meter of lament and separation. And Ramayan has so much of that. Dasara separated from Ram, giving up his life. And then Ram separated from Sita. Twice. And the brothers separated from one another. Bharat Satrughna separated from Ram Lakshman. So much. That's rasa, emotional experience. But that is that reciprocation of rasa and expression of rasa, the relationship between the living entity and the Lord, that is expressed in its highest form, in its peak, in the appearance of Sri Krishna. He is Akila Rasamrita Murti, the topmost manifestation of rasa, the highest embodiment of loving exchange. That is Sri Krishna. And that is where the Bhagavatam takes us, to the 10th canto. That is the smiling face of the Lord. Sri Krishna has a wonderful childhood pastime. Most wonderful. Stealing butter and yogurt. Carrying Nanda Baba's shoes on his head. Teasing the babies, the other gopis, holding on the tail, to the tail of the cow or the calf, and then going for a joyride around the goshala. Wonderful pastimes with his coward boyfriends, wrestling and joking and stealing lunch bags and throwing it from one boy to the next. Playing tag and leapfrog, killing demons, dancing, singing, playing instruments. Wonderful pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan, calling them with the sound of his flute to Vamsivat, to enjoy Raslila, dancing in a beautiful circle dance in the full moon night, the Kartik month, autumn month. These are the most wonderful pastimes that the Supreme Lord comes to earth to manifest, to exhibit, for all to behold, for all to be awakened to our own relationship with Him. That we will be awakened to, I want to be connected with Him. I want to love Him. What to do? Bhakti yoga. And then He comes again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and freely gives this relationship with Krishna to everyone, regardless of their disqualification, as all people are in the Kali Yuga. He's drunk with his own prema. That Krishna prema, that love for Krishna, he becomes drunk with it because he assumes Radha Bhava Juti Suvalaitam Krishnomi Sarupam. He assumes the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So he comes as his own devotee who loves Krishna more than anyone. That is the other lesson of the Bhagavatam. It takes us in a journey of rasa. It reveals Krishna as Rasamrita Murti. And it reveals Anyara Arito Nunam, that there is another gopi, a special gopi, who has pleased Krishna the most. That is Srimati Radhika. Therefore, Bhagavatam is also sometimes called Radha Bhagavat. Assuming her mood and complexion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, drunk with that love, and he's relishing it and freely distributing. Therefore, he's called Mahavadanya Avatar, the most munificent, most merciful incarnation, manifestation of Godhead. Sri Ramachandra manifests, expresses more rasa than Nrisingadev. Krishna expresses more than him. Krishna shows more mercy than Sri Ram. I tell the story sometimes that I was in South India, in Srirangam, and I was speaking with one very learned pundit, devotee in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. His name was Rangapriya. They're devotees of Ranganaji, so he's Rangapriya. And we were meeting every day and discussing different topics of philosophy and culture. We had a regular appointment, 5 or 6 days. He was kind to me to give me his time every day, and we would discuss. And one day he jokingly said to me, he said, "My guru says that Sri Ram is more merciful than Krishna." And I said, "Your guru is much more advanced as a devotee, much more intelligent as a person than me. But still I want to disagree." And he said, "That is okay for you to disagree, but you should give evidence. You should disagree with Shastra, with Shastric Praman. Then you can disagree. If you cannot support your disagreement with Shastric Praman, with Shastric evidence, then what is the use of your disagreement?" So I said, "Yeah, sure." I said that when Sri Ramachandra went to the Dandaka forest, and the sages, they were attracted by his beauty, and they wanted to take female forms and be accepted by him as his wives. He said, "No." He said, "I have taken ekapatni vrata, to only accept one wife. But in the future, I will appear as Krishna, and you can be my gopis. I will satisfy your desires then." I said, "That is one evidence, but there are many more." When Surpanaka approached Sri Ram, again attracted by his beauty, she wanted to be accepted as his wife. He responded by having her nose and ears cut off. I said, "But when Kupcha approached Krishna, she was also not beautiful. Krishna made her beautiful. She was a hunchback. Krishna put his foot on her foot, put his fingers under her chin and lifted her up, made her stand up straight, and she looked most beautiful. Krishna accepted her." Later, when Srimati Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravan and kept in his place, Ram initially didn't agree to take her back. He freed her, killed Ravan, and said, "You can go wherever you please." Agni intervened. Ram agreed that she can just enter into fire and give up her life. And Agni came out and said, "She is pure." And on that basis, Ram took her back. I said, but when 16,000 princesses who were kept by Narakasura were freed by Krishna after he killed that demon, Narakasura, 16,000 princesses from all over the world, they said, Krishna, where can we go? Narakasura has kept us in his home. No one will marry us now. Please, you accept it. Krishna said, sure. He married 16,000 princesses, gave them palaces and children in Dwarka. I said that his initial argument, he said that Krishna, he's Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go, he's affectionate to cows and Brahmins. But Ram, he gave his mercy to the monkeys. He said, cows and Brahmins, they are anyway worshipable. What is so great that he's affectionate to them? But monkeys, they are not honorable. Ram gave his mercy. I said, Ram, he engaged monkeys in war and they gave up their lives for him. I said, Krishna, he stole the cow's milk from his own mother and fed it to the monkeys. Anyway, he was very pleased. He said, you have given very good evidence. So Sri Krishna, he is most merciful of all incarnations, but even more merciful than him is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are most fortunate, because Mahaprabhu does not appear in every Kali Yuga. He appears in once in a day of Brahma. That means one out of, I think, 1,000 Kali Yugas, if not more. It's most rare. We are fortunate to be living in that Kali Yuga after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the appearance of Swayam Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, who appeared to manifest his Vrindavan pastimes. So I'll conclude there. Thank you all for your kind attention. I'll not take any questions because I've gone a little over time. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jaya, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.